Welcome to the download here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest today is a musician who spent some time in the Chicago area, Anna Birch, who just performed here in town at Empty Bottle in Westfest. Birch has been a staple in the Detroit folk and rock scenes, playing bass in the band Frontier Ruckus. But Birch is turning heads as a solo artist in her 2018 debut album, Quit the Curse. The album was a coming-out party for the musician who moved into the spotlight and moved out of the folk sound to a more indie rock singer-songwriter style, and it works. Anna Birch is in studio with me, and she brought her guitar. Here she is live with the track Belle Isle.
I found myself in a new city. You again fortuitously, and you quickly put yourself into my sight. I fell so hard, my friend swore I was blind, and now I'm lovesick and sunburned and some. Summer's only beginning. I've done many foolish and hurtful things, twisted myself up into the sheets with guilt, and I've let loathsome men into my life, who smothered me with jealousy and pride, but you seem so cool in all that you do to make me feel like a lady. I wish you would hold me in your arms like the night we made out on Belle Isle. I know there won't always be fireworks, but we saw them that night for a while. So scared my past will run me down for good, but when I see you looking back at me, I think you see the girl I wanna be. And for now, this bitter earth is suddenly worth all the trouble. We danced to that song twice in a row, and I can't let go all that easy.
That's the song Belle Isle. In studio, yes, Anna Birch. And of course, Anna's album is called Quit the Curse. Belle Isle is on that album. Anna Birch, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This album is great, and it's an album that has a ton of Chicago connection, not just the time that you spent here in town, but you actually were here doing some of the arrangements and recordings. Chicago means a lot to you.
It does, yeah. I miss it all the time, too. I love Chicago.
So what about it? I mean, what brought you here to actually work on your solo project?
Well, I actually lived here for 3 years. I went to grad school at University of Chicago for a year. And, yeah, I kind of wasn't doing anything with music while I was living here. And then towards the end of my time here, I made friends with a musician in town. You may know him, Paul Cherry. And, yeah, he kind of encouraged me. He was going to school at Columbia, music composition, and he was really into the home recording stuff. And he really encouraged me, and we started kind of collaborating together, just doing some demos for fun. And then when I moved to Detroit, he was like, you should write more and come back and we'll record an EP or something.
Were you thinking about that? Because at this point, I mean, with Frontier Ruckus, you're playing bass in this band, it's a folk outfit, you're busy. I mean, were you thinking about a solo career?
It was a funny point in time because I had recently rejoined the band. When I was in Chicago, I was kind of on a break. Yeah. And then when I moved to Detroit, it was sort of to rejoin the band. But when I decided to do that, I kind of felt like I needed to have more of a personal connection to music if I was going to make it sort of the focus of my life again. I felt like I can't just go back to the way things were because that wasn't totally working for me. But I didn't have super serious ambitions about a solo career. I kind of just wanted to be able to have some sort of like creative agency and try and work on my own stuff just for me.
Because the band Frontier Ruckus was very popular, especially in the folk scene, touring and of course a fan base. But you were playing bass in the music in bands. It wasn't necessarily your creative outlet.
True. True. And I was singing like harmony vocals. That was how I joined the band when I was like 18. I started just singing harmony vocals.
So to make that transition to come to Chicago and to work on a project that's going to be much more personal, what kind of music did you want to record? What was it? Was it, I mean, because the album, as it's known, is a lot about relationships. What did you want it to be? How intimate did you want it to be?
I didn't have like a very clear vision of it when I started. The song I played, Belle Isle, that was actually the first song I wrote that made it to the record. And I think, it's a little bit country, just a little bit. And I think I was kind of moving away from a sort of more like Americana background just because that was the band I had been in for so long.
Right,
but
right.
I definitely knew that I wanted it to be more like pop rock. I knew that I wanted to play electric guitar and have, just a backing band that was more of like a rock outfit.
So for you, what comes first? Does the style of music that you want to perform in or the actual songs or the messages in the songs?
Well, the songs were all written kind of like in a pretty solitary manner on acoustic guitar. And I kind of had a band in mind when I wrote them, but at the same time, it was so nebulous at that point what that would mean because I was pretty much working alone. And I don't know. I think I just had a lot of interpersonal drama, I suppose, at the time, moving, and just a lot was changing and a lot of things kind of clicked in a way that was like the music and the need to kind of express myself
right.
happened simultaneously. So,
was there any trepidation for you to go from someone who is doing harmony and playing bass and you know having a skill set to work in someone else's band to the first project that you do being so personal, being open with relationships, talking about the drama that you just mentioned as your first outfit? Was there any trepidation for you as an artist to say, geez, I got a little sweat on my brow that I'm going to be talking about these issues?
You know, I think I didn't think about it too much. I didn't really have a clear vision of like an audience or like it really reaching many people. So it was kind of just a really personal thing. And I think waiting until I was in my late 20s to even start writing, I kind of felt this sense of urgency of like, well, it has to be what I want to say, and it has to be, true to my experiences.
Well, that's a thoughtful way to approach music. I mean, the concept of waiting to a certain point, it's almost like a novelist. You know, live your life through the 20s, and then when you get in your 30s, you write it all down.
Definitely.
Do you see that the same way as someone who is putting their debut album out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, songwriting as a craft is still new to me. I mean, that was my first batch of songs, and I'm not really a writer. I'm not really like a poet. I don't consider myself a great lyricist. I like my lyrics, and I think they're very direct, and I think people can connect with them easily. But I definitely wouldn't say that that the lyrics are at the forefront. I don't write the lyrics first. I kind of work out a progression and a mood, and you know, hopefully the lyrics kind of come really quickly and simultaneously to the music.
What's great about the album, and this gets pointed out a lot, I mean, because of your background and where you came from, and people know your work with Frontier Ruckus, there seems to be much more intensity given to the style of music. Meaning, you know, it's more of a pop sound. It's more of an indie rock pop sound. And you're at the front of it, and it's something that they hadn't heard. So people, yeah. But beyond, but also there's this intensity in the lyrics that sometimes gets missed because of that that strong, or at least that change in musical style. Do you see it that way?
Sure. And I mean, when I first started playing out, I was playing solo. And it made me so much more nervous, and I felt so much more vulnerable because, yeah, the lyrics are
Looking at the lyrics, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So I have to say, it's much more fun playing with a band.
You said this, and I was reading an article about one of the things in Frontier Ruckus is they weren't really there to see you. There's other players in that band that you know, as a bass player. And you had a quote, I'm paraphrasing off the quote, but it was, there's a big difference between being the girl in the band or being the band, being the girl that is the band.
Yeah.
Talk about that distinction, the idea of being in the background as a woman as opposed to being in front of the microphone.
Yeah. Well, things have certainly changed since I started in Frontier Ruckus when I was 18 in like 2006. And I think at that time, being a sort of support role as a female in a band was much more common, you know, like playing tambourine, maybe playing a little keys, but mostly kind of adding to the vocals, but not being really a front person. And as much as I think that adds so much, at the same time, at the end of the day, it wasn't my project.
Right.
And I also think just like the culture around women in music has changed so much. Like just being on tour, I can't tell if it's because I'm the face and the front of everything, whether or not I get a little more respect. But I definitely feel like in general, people are a little more they're just more ready to see a woman in that role.
There's so many great comparisons, and I think about some of the 90s music, and people have drawn comparisons to Chicago's own Liz Phair. Juliana Hatfield's another person who comes up. These strong women who really dominated at that point in a genre of music.
Absolutely.
When you think about those comparisons, what does that mean to you? Are you fans of that kind of music, or does it mean something to you that those names are used alongside yours?
I think you're right that moment in time, like there were women dominating, like Sheryl Crow too, and I love that era of music so much. And I don't know if it's necessarily like a super on the nose
comparison
right. Stylistically, but I get it, and I respect those women a lot. And I think it's more of like the moment,
yeah,
like, seeing women fronting like.
Yeah,
indie rock bands. It makes them think of like, oh, Liz Phair, right?
Right. You're absolutely right. I don't know if you can make a comparison to the sound.
Yeah.
Meaning you guys don't sound alike, but maybe it's more of a comparison about the style. The image, the style of music, what you're singing about. Those were why Liz Phair and Julianne Hatfield and others, they grabbed people's attention because
right.
There was a certain intimacy in the music they were producing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anna Birch, my guest, she was just in town playing Empty Bottle in Westfest. That went well. Two totally different experiences. What was it like to be on stage at Westfest? That I always wonder with musicians if that's a fun gig, if that's a weird gig, because it's essentially a street festival.
Yeah, it's definitely both. It's fun and weird. And playing kind of like early in the day in the sunshine, it's not your typical rock and roll experience like the Empty Bottle,
right?
And that's sort of like the quintessential rock club, you know.
Now you take on another chapter in your musical career as you go to Europe, coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Talk about your expectations for that, about a European tour, but then also what's after that? I mean, should we start thinking about another album that should be coming out?
I would love to start thinking about another album. I've been so busy. This is actually my second time going to Europe. I was in Europe in May.
So what did you learn from the last time that you will improve upon this time around?
Oh man. I learned that I will be eating a lot of bread and cheese and, I don't know. It was fun. It was totally unexpectedly really nice. People came out and, were familiar and I wasn't sure what to expect really. So that was great. And, looking forward to doing more, and there's going to be more festivals this time around. So
that's great.
Excited about that.
So for you to embark on another project, to put another album out, a sophomore album, what process is in place? Do you have a process that says, I need 3 months to concoct what I want to do, or I need this amount of time to get together with Paul or other people to sort of arrange what I'm thinking?
You know, I have not had that kind of foresight and planning in the past, really, because the album just kind of, it became more and more serious as we worked, and I started working with more people, and it was a little more, it took a long time, and this time around I would love for it to be a little more streamlined, so I have to figure out like who I'm collaborating with, where I'm going to record it, and I have some songs not fully arranged, but kind of floating in the ether, and I just really need some time and
right.
A place to really work and to collaborate. Hopefully.
You come back to Chicago. Right?
I would love to. I talk about moving back all the time, to the point where my friends are like, yeah, I'll believe it when I do it.
All right, so you've got your guitar. Let's get one more song out of you. What are we going to hear?
I think I will play a new song, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I think tentatively it's called Go It Alone.
Go It Alone. Anna Birch in studio. Her new album, Quit the Curse, is out. She just finished up a couple gigs here in Chicago at Empty Bottle and Westfest, and she's heading out on tour to Europe. But I can't thank you enough for coming in and spending some time with us here. And here she is on the download.
Think you know everyone here. When you move your mouth, you just bum everybody out. Don't even pick up the phone. Let messages hang, 'cause corresponding's not your thing. Try to make sense of this, it's in your best interest. You'd know.
That's a new one. Going alone. Anna Birch, thank you so much for joining us. Great music and great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.